You're listening to the RBN Energy Blogcast. This is an audio version of RBN's Daily Energy Blog, which is a fun and informative daily commentary on oil, gas, NGL, and renewable markets. Each morning, we cover commodity fundamentals and industry changes to keep you informed of developing trends across the energy landscape.
Thursday, March 31st, 2022. I want to break free. The real-life impacts of the planned crude oil releases from the SPR. Published by Housley Carr. At first glance, it would appear that President Biden's announcement regarding the release of up to 180 million barrels of crude oil from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve over the next 6 months could have a significant impact. After all, it would, in a sense, increase the flow of U.S. oil into the market by almost 9%, 11.7 million barrels per day of current U.S. production plus an incremental 1 million barrels per day from the SPR, and boost global supply by about 1%, which is no small thing. There are a few unknowns, though, such as, 1. How much sweet crude oil and how much sour will be released, 2. Where the pipelines connected to the four SPR sites could take that oil, 3. Whether those pipelines have sufficient capacity to absorb the incremental flows out of SPR, and 4. What the ultimate market impacts of the SPR releases will be. In today's RBN blog, we look at the president's announcement and its implications. The U.S. SPR is the largest emergency stockpile of crude oil in the world, with an authorized capacity of 714 million barrels. It was established in the mid-1970s in response to the 1973 oil crisis to mitigate domestic supply disruptions. In the past few decades, it has been used to store crude for a rainy day, that is, to help deal with unpredictable events such as embargoes or devastating hurricanes that interrupt supply. Now, as President Biden announced on Thursday, the U.S. Department of Energy, or DOE, will coordinate the release of 1 million barrels per day for 180 days from the SPR to help restore the global oil supply-demand balance and put downward pressure on oil prices. If the releases continue for more than a month, they would represent the largest single withdrawal from the SPR ever. The SPR contains both domestic and foreign crude oils and, for the most part, these are of light gravity, or 30 to 40 degrees API, and contain less than 2% sulfur. The DOE commingles the crudes according to their sulfur content, sweet, or less than 0.5% sulfur, or sour, or greater than 0.5%, but less than 2%. There are currently four SPR storage sites in operation. Moving from west to east in the map in Figure 1 in today's blog, they are the following. Number 1. Bryan Mound, which can hold up to 247.1 million barrels and as of January 26, 2022, the latest numbers available, split by sulfur, at 66.6 million barrels of sweet crude oil and 148.8 million barrels of sour. Number 2. Big Hill, which can hold up to 170 million barrels and has 65.0 million barrels of sweet crude and 65.1 million barrels of sour, again as of January 26. Number 3. West Hackberry, which can hold up to 220.4 million barrels and has 102.2 million barrels of sweet crude and 77.5 million barrels of sour. Number 4. Bayou Choctaw, which can hold up to 76 million barrels in six caverns, with 18.9 million barrels of sweet crude and 41.9 million barrels of sour. Just as important as how much crude oil the SPR system can store, however, is how quickly oil can be released from the system's caverns, not to mention where that oil can be transported to help the market mitigate the effects of an oil supply emergency. As we said in Need to Know, the SPR system is designed for an initial maximum drawdown, or oil withdrawal, rate of 4.415 million barrels a day. That rate could be sustained for 90 days, by which time about 400 million barrels would have been withdrawn, after which the maximum rate would gradually drop. Theoretically, it would take a total of about 130 days to drain the system's 568 million barrels of currently stored oil, as of March 25, if the spigots were left wide open. Figure 2 in today's blog shows the maximum drawdown rate for each of the four storage sites, as well as the sales points for the crude oil, and the pipelines, and marine terminals that have direct connections to the sales points. So far, so good, right? There's a hitch, though, and it's this. The SPR's physical ability to quickly and efficiently distribute large volumes of crude oil has been compromised to some degree since the beginning of the shale era. This is due to four major changes since 2011. Number 1. How much oil is produced in the lower 48? Number 2. Where that oil is produced? Number 3. How it is transported to refineries? And number 4. Where U.S. refineries source their oil from? The net result of these changes is this. there is technically sufficient capacity on the pipelines connected to the four SPR storage facilities to receive all the crude being pumped out, even at the 4.415 million barrels per day maximum drawdown rate, but new patterns of oil supply and demand among U.S. oil producers and refineries, among other things, now constrain the SPR's ability to distribute incremental volumes of oil into the market during a major supply interruption. In other words, because of increased utilization of pipelines and marine terminals along the Gulf Coast in recent years, and a few pipeline reversals, it has become more difficult to move large volumes of SPR stockpiled crude without disrupting the existing flow of domestic production and Canadian imports. This might complicate the Biden administration's plan to release an average of 1 million barrels per day from the SPR over the next 180 days, and it's possible that those complications reduce the planned market impact of the daily releases. So the releases will need to be carefully orchestrated to ensure that there is sufficient pipeline capacity out of the four sites to accommodate them. Then there's the issue of how the effect of the releases might be maximized. Presumably, as in the past, the SPR crude to be released will be sold to the highest bidders through competitive auctions, and purchasers will be responsible for making their own transportation arrangements via pipeline or marine vessel. What is unclear based on the announcement, though, is how much of each type of crude oil, sweet or sour, will be released. See our 5-part Come Into America series for more about refinery crude slates and how they differ by pad. Further, the announcement didn't specify when and where the oil will be released from Bryan Mound, Big Hill, etc. Getting back to what we do know, a 180 million barrels drawdown in the inventories over the next 6 months, in addition to other announced U.S. SPR releases, which total to about 43 million barrels for the remainder of the year, see our crude oil gusher report for details, would leave the SPR at its lowest level since 1983, about 345 million barrels, or about 48% of the system's 714 million barrels capacity. In our calculations, we assume that it will take a month for the first crude oil to flow out of the SPR sites, and that the withdrawals will continue through the end of October, and, of course, any extension of the 1 million barrels per day withdrawal regime for more than 180 days would reduce the crude oil stockpile even further. The Biden administration noted Thursday that it may adjust its SPR withdrawal strategy over time to maximize the program's effectiveness in bringing motor fuel prices down, having significantly lower volumes of crude oil socked away in the four SPR sites for an emergency such as a major hurricane would likely make the market even more skittish if further supply-related issues arise later this year or in 2023, particularly if inventories at other major storage hubs such as Cushing remain low. And that may depend on what ultimate impact the SPR releases will have on the oil patch. As we've noted in previous blogs, see Tops Drop, storage is great at absorbing market shocks, and President Biden acknowledged that the SPR releases serve as a wartime bridge to increase oil supply until production ramps up later this year. It's true, storage is not a long-term solution to the supply-demand imbalance that caused prices to escalate in the first place. Lately, we've beat the drum that, more than elevated crude prices, producers are looking for stability and unambiguous, positive signals from the administration before they invest in additional production. See, I can't go for that, no can do. Instead, they got more mixed signals as the announcement of the SPR release came along with a suggestion that leases on federal lands could be forfeited if they're not used, as well as a reiteration that the ultimate solution to the U.S.'s energy woes is a transition away from fossil fuels and toward renewables. One final note, given that the SPR crude oil to be auctioned off over the coming weeks is likely to be sold at or close to the current market's elevated prices, the DOE is almost sure to make a windfall of sorts. According to the department's latest available numbers, the DOE paid an average of only about $30 per barrel for the crude oil now stored at the SPR, suggesting it may see a profit of at least $60 or $70 per barrel from its sales, which suggests a roughly $12 billion gain for 180 million barrels in sales over the six-month period. In the White House's statement on Thursday, it said that the revenue the DOE receives from the crude oil sales $18 billion if the oil sold for an average of $100 per barrel will be used to restock the Strategic Petroleum Reserve in future years. Of course, that might depend on who is in the White House and where oil prices head from here. In fact, some WTI futures contracts for 2024 deliveries actually rose perhaps as traders anticipate the planned buyback or a more muted long-term production response due to lower near-term prices and increased uncertainty. There's still a lot more to this story, including how the crude oil release might affect refined product markets and how all that crude breaking free from the SPR system will work its way through various pipelines and terminals up and down the Gulf Coast. We'll have to save that for a future blog, but we'll leave you with this map showing where they connect. I Want to Break Free was written by Queen's bassist, John Deacon. It appears as the second song on side 2 of Queen's 11th studio album, The Works. Released as the second single from the album in April 1984, the song went to number 45 on the Billboard Hot 100 singles chart. Four different versions of the single were released. The video for I Want to Break Free was a parody of the long-running British television soap opera Coronation Street, featuring the members of Queen dressed as women. MTV banned the video as they considered it too controversial. Personnel on the record were Freddie Mercury on lead and backing vocals, Brian May on electric guitar, John Deacon on bass, acoustic guitar and synthesizer, Roger Taylor on drums, and Fred Mandel on synthesizer solo. The Works was recorded between August 1983 and January 1984 at the record plant in Los Angeles and Musicland in Munich, Germany. The title of the album comes from a comment Roger Taylor made as they started recording it, referring to the fact that the record would be a combination of old-style Queen hard rockers and newer-style Queen electronic synth-pop. He said, "Let's give them The Works." The Works was produced by Queen and Reinhold Mack and was released in February 1984. It went to number 23 on the Billboard Top 200 Albums chart. Four singles were released from the album. It has been certified gold by the Recording Industry Association of America. Queen is a British rock band formed in London in 1970 with Freddie Mercury, Brian May, Roger Taylor, and John Deacon. May and Taylor had previously played together in a band called Smile. Queen has sold over 170 million records worldwide and has released 15 studio albums, 10 live albums, 15 compilation albums, 2 soundtrack albums, 7 EPs, and 72 singles. The band has won 4 Brit Awards, 4 Ivor Novello Awards, and 1 Grammy Award, as well as a Grammy Lifetime Achievement Award. They are members of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, Songwriters Hall of Fame, and UK Music Hall of Fame. Brian May and Roger Taylor have continued to tour with supporting musicians as Queen. The band has featured both Paul Rogers and Adam Lambert as their lead vocalists since the death of Freddie Mercury in 1991. Founding member John Deacon retired from the band in 1997. Queen plans on releasing a live album with Adam Lambert as lead vocalist in October of this year.
Thanks for listening to the RBN Daily Energy Blogcast. For more information on energy market reports, maps, and consulting engagements, please visit us at rbnenergy.com. And thanks for rocking with us.